This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn-Mark Roshan-Kanisan and Noel Lim. It's 9:07 a.m, Tuesday the 29th of December. We are turning our attention to activity over on Bursa Malaysia.
Bursa Malaysia, the KLCI this morning is playing jump rope with the line this morning. It's going in between green and red every other minute at this juncture. It's marginally in the red right now. Year to date, still up 3.4%. Taking a look at the broader region, Singapore is up 0.2%, down 11.5% year to date. And if we take a look at Japan, it's up 1.3%. Korea is up 0.3%. Australia is up 0.65%. Taking a look at some of the other commodities we like paying attention to. Gold is up 0.4% this morning, $1,880 per ounce. And Brent crude is just below $51 a barrel, down 0.8% today and down just under 16% year to date. Still better than still a good price overall because it's about $10 above our estimates in the budget, in budget 2021. Taking a look at the top value stocks this morning, we've got Malawa. Malewar Industries Group at the very top of the charts here. 61 cent right now, up 4.3%, 16.5 million ringgit in shares traded. Iris Corp follows, 44.5 cent, up 1.1%, 11.4 million ringgit in shares traded. And to round off the top three, we've got Mestron Holdings, 23.5 cent, 9.3% up this morning, 11.4 million ringgit in shares traded. No glove makers in the top three here, but I am seeing some movement in a lot of the few steel players, including Malaysia Steel and Leader Steel and Lion Industries, and I think that's on the back of some news on the fact that Malaysia has imposed provisional anti-dumping duties on steel imports from Indonesia and Vietnam.
All right. And over in the U.S. as well, the markets there were in the green. The Dow Jones and the Nasdaq both closed up 0.7%, while the S&P 500 was up 0.9%. So for more insight into global markets this morning, we're speaking with Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy at VFS Group. Jack, thank you so much for joining us today. Now, there was a sell-off in Chinese tech giants, namely Meituan, Tencent, as well as JD on antitrust concerns. Do you see this as an opportunity to scoop up their shares now, or has the sell-off not bottomed out yet?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me on the show. I mean, maybe not yet. I think there's a lot to play out here. This is a significant watershed moment in not only in Chinese tech, but the Chinese economy. You know, there are deeper things at play here. And the Chinese government, I think, and the Central Bureau is keen to ensure that these Chinese tech companies understand who is the boss and where they want them to be. If you ever heard me speak, you know that I'm a big Chinese tech bull and I've always been overweight Chinese tech. But like I said, this is a watershed moment. What we need to understand is that these Chinese tech companies, for all their greatness and all their efficiency and all their innovation, the Chinese government is telling them, we made you. If we look at history, they were provided with the greatest firewall ever seen in corporate history. They were protected from American and Western counterparts coming in and competing against them and allowing them to be so efficient. And now the Chinese government is essentially saying, we want more from you in this battle and in this, you know, inwardness that we're looking for. So I don't think this is the end. I'm looking at, you know, a deal by Tencent to take Sogou private, which is the second largest search engine in China. That's being squawked out by the Chinese government at this point in time. I look at a company like Pinduoduo, which your listeners might know. They recently reported their earnings were fantastic, but part of that earnings growth and part of that monthly active user growth was the fact that they give out discounted coupons. Now that's coming into question in terms of the Chinese antitrust laws. So there's so many question marks around Chinese tech at this point in time, particularly around the two big giants. When we look at something like Tencent, which didn't feel the brunt in the last week but did last night, they own a portion of JD.com. They own a portion of Pinduoduo. They own a portion of Bilibili and Youku and all these Chinese tech companies that are emerging. And that is that question now about the tentacles and whether the Chinese government wants to allow that. So, I mean, this is really, really big news. The market has reacted to it, but I think there's so many question marks at this point in time that I would wait and see where this goes over the next couple of months. And it will take a couple of months to play out.
What's your best guess on how this will play out?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you who's going to win, and that's, I mean, the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, President Xi is going to win. He's Vice Premier Li Hu, who's his biggest economic advisor. I think this is just a backstop. I think this is a look. This is where you can go. She's a shot across the bows. But I think, you know, Barbara is going to be severely affected here, and it already has. Its Ant Financial IPO is going to be pulled out. I think you're going to see some restrictions on what they can own. And how broadly their tentacles can be. And I think the broader play here is the Chinese Communist Party understands that the key success to them going forward to becoming a middle-income nation and the number one economy in the world is innovation. And if they have too many tech giants who own everything, while that is good for innovation in the short term, it stifles innovation in the long term. So that's where I think they're going. They want to see more smaller players come out, smaller players breed and become a Meishuan Jiamping, and which we've seen from there, and allow innovation to grow within the Chinese economy. And I think that's the general direction that they want to go into.
All right, Jack, while we're on the note of tech, let's switch gears a little bit here and talk about US tech firms. The five biggest ones have over $1 trillion worth of cash. What could they use this for next year? Is there anything on the radar that you're paying attention to?
Yeah, Roshan, it's very good reading there, I must say, too, by the way, as a side joke. But I mean, not only do they have enormous amounts of cash, they all raised money in 2020. And that's the incredible thing about it. I mean, Apple raised late 2019. Amazon and Microsoft both went for raisings this year. So Amazon raised, I think it was $12 billion in August 2020. The first billion was at a coupon rate of 0.35, which is the lowest corporate lending rate in history. So not only did they have a bucket of cash, they borrowed more in 2020. Look, yeah, the easy target is for them to acquire, but I think it's going to be very difficult for them. I think regulators in the US are very keen on curbing some of the power of the tech giants. So, yeah, I'm going to say they're going to look to acquire some smaller businesses, but I think it's going to be very difficult for them to get that through Congress and the Senate. I think they're borrowing and they're using these buckets of cash because, you know, money is quite cheap, and they're using that as kind of a layer against any softness in the US economy. I definitely think they're going to be on that acquisition path. Whether they can do it or not is another question to be answered in 2021.
Jack, are there any particular types of companies do you think that will be snapped up next year?
Yeah, I mean, you look at something like Apple, I think it still wants to increase its exposure in the health industry. You know, its wearables watch is that entry into that segment. I think that's something they want to continue to do. They are designing their own chips at the moment. So they look at, you know, buying some of these design companies in terms of that chip market. I mean, we talk about this, and we talked about this last week on the show when we talked about Apple going into autonomous cars. There's nothing, you know, these companies are looking for vertical and horizontal integration and looking to use the data that they've accumulated to get into so many industries. So I don't think there's anything out of the question. It'd be interesting to see if Apple wants to go into the cloud system. But, you know, there's nothing that's not in the peripheral of these companies. But I think health, particularly for Apple that we just discussed, is something I think they'll look to acquire in 2021.
So, Jack, beyond tech, with a relief package heading to the Senate combined with the vaccine narrative, do you think we might be on the cusp of a Super Bowl cycle?
I mean, are we not on the cusp? we're not in a Super Bowl cycle right now. Look, let me say this with a joke and without a joke. I am, and I've said this on your show many times, a permanent bull and probably a Super Bowl. And you've heard that for the last year. But I can tell you, there's not much value in this market. I mean, tech is stretched, airlines are stretched, industrials are stretched, healthcare is stretched. I mean, the only area where I can see some possible value in terms of PE is maybe US banks. But, you know, we talk about some of these tech companies, the Zooms, the Zscalers, the work from homes. I mean, they're not trading 30 times PE. They're trading 30 times price to sale, even more. So where this Super Bowl cycle is, I don't know. Where I am forecasting or predicting a pullback in the first quarter of 2021, only because valuations are so stretched. I mean, it's almost a Goldilocks scenario right now. I think it's too Cinderella. There's too much buying, there's too much bullishness in the midst of still a recovering economy. So, yeah, I think we'll grow in 2021. I think it'll be an up year. I feel like the first quarter is going to be quite soft. And pullbacks are good for markets, and this market needs a pullback.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Jack. That was Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy over at VFS Group, with his thoughts on global markets this morning. And as he says, he is, what did he call himself? A permanent Super Bull?
Permanent bull, Jack Kuzi. That's the situation. And I mean, we covered quite a lot of ground there because the Chinese tech news was very important. But on the flip side, we talked about the US as well, because the US tech companies are doing it, although there is antitrust scrutiny there. It's going to be an interesting 2021 because they have done so well. Just look at the NASDAQ on its own. It's up 42% year to date, indicating, again, that boom in tech companies. You look at the IPOs for last year. Businesses raised almost $300 billion through flotations globally in 2020. And you saw some, that was about $159 billion in the U.S. And this included the IPOs of companies like DoorDash and Airbnb. And this, take into consideration, this number doesn't include the fact that Ant did not list. If not, that number would have been bigger.
Well, all these Chinese tech giants now come under regulatory scrutiny. I guess that's part of that maturing, growing process, although one may argue that it's really a political process. But in any case, I think he makes a very interesting point here where he say maybe in the short term, with all this regulatory scrutiny and curbs may actually stifle innovation. But in the long term, it allows competition, allows for smaller players to emerge. And in the longer term, it may be just more healthy and there's a better distribution of income.
Yeah. He talked about
the country.
He talked about stretched valuations, right, Noel? And the only thing he said that maybe isn't so stretched is the U.S. banking sector. And I've got a few of the counters up here. Morgan Stanley, if we take a look on a one-month basis over here, it is down a little bit. It's down on a one-month basis, it's up 7%. But on a year-to-date, it's up 33%. This was supposed to be not that great a year for these guys, right? So JP Morgan on a year-to-date basis is down 10%. Bank of America is down 15% year-to-date. Wells Fargo is down 44%. But of course, Wells Fargo has its own issues aside the pandemic impacts. So it's going to be an interesting year to see where value goes, especially with how stretched everything is.
Indeed. And we are going to be taking a look at our own local corporate landscape up next, just after these few messages. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.